you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Judge Sotomayor, are you prepared to take the oath?
I am.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Sonia Sotomayor, do solemnly swear.
I, Sonia Sotomayor, do solemnly swear
that I will administer justice without respect to persons.
That I will administer justice without respect to persons.
And do equal right to the poor and to the rich.
And do equal right to the poor and to the rich.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially
discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform
all the duties incumbent upon me.
All of the duties incumbent upon me
as Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
As an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Under the Constitution and laws of the United States.
Under the Constitution and laws of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations and welcome to the court.
That was an unfortunate experience from last Thursday. By the way, folks, I want to apologize a little bit for Friday's show. I have a child that needed to get some dental work done Friday morning, and I sent in a best of show, and there was just a little bit of confusion over when that was supposed to be aired and put in the computer and such. So you got a replay of August 3rd, which is all good. Again, I want to apologize for that. Had a plan in, but just a couple things got messed up. The studio is very busy with a lot of new and upcoming stuff for RBN, so it's all good. But that happened last Thursday. That oath was actually given and received on Saturday of this last weekend. And while Sotomayor is in D.C. taking the oath so she can start work as an associate justice, we have the North American whatever the hell it is down in Mexico with the North American Union discussions, however you want to call it, with Obama, the Mexican president, and the Canadian prime minister. Of course, on the Mexican agenda is they would like to see the quote-unquote assault weapons ban reinstated in the United States. I'm going to have that story for you coming up in the next segment. And then kind of a response, really how Ted Nugent looks at things. I think you'll appreciate that. It just really disturbs me that we've get Mexico, the United States, and Canada together. We get three individuals, three men, that represent several hundred million people in all. And they are trying to decide amongst themselves about doing a North America's version of the European Union, including a currency, open borders. I mean, the border's not that open to begin with. Did you know that the census for 2009 is counting absolutely everyone, including those illegal in this country, some 20-plus million? And you know what that means? That means the state of California could inevitably end up with an additional 9 seats in the House of Representatives because of all the illegals in California, and every single one of them is being counted. Can you believe that? Not even really members of legitimate members of our society are going to be counted. So we're proportioned out equally by the number of people, not the number of citizens, not the number of people who can actually vote. Imagine that. More when we continue. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
ABC News is reporting that a, quote, senior Mexican official, end quote, is hiding behind anonymity to attack U.S. gun rights. Now, ABC News, which is hardly the most objective of content providers, continues its tradition of giving gun grabbers a megaphone, and this time it's to an unidentified senior Mexican official, whatever that means. Now, whether this senior Mexican official actually exists or it's just ABC News doing their thing, we don't know. Of course, the backdrop to all this is this week's North American Leaders Summit, which is the annual meeting that fits the presidents of Mexico, the United States, and, of course, the Prime Minister of Canada. And among the discussion items is, I would like to see the assault weapons ban reinstated, coming out of Mexico, allegedly. Oh, yes. You would you? And why is that? There's a direct correlation between the assault ban and expiring in 2004 and the numbers, simply the sheer numbers of assault weapons that we seize in Mexico. I should have read that differently. Pardon me. There's a direct correlation between the assault weapons ban expiring in 2004 and the numbers, especially the sheer numbers of assault weapons that we seize in Mexico. Pardon me. That was a better rendition of the quote. What you mean is really the machine guns, I believe, down there in Mexico. Or do you expect us to believe that a pointless ban on cosmetic features that never removed a single semi-automatic firearm of equivalent functionality from the marketplace is responsible for your outstanding violence and criminal rate of just engaging and shooting everybody and everything down in Mexico? And it's not levels of Mexican governmental corruption that's giving fully automatic machine guns into the hands of the cartels? Suddenly, pistol grips and bayonet lugs are allowed once more on the new production, and the entire country of Mexico goes to hell in violence, correct? Is that it? And the next bit is telling, but then again, we're dealing with a representative of the state who is apparently under the belief that political leaders should rule instead of serve. The Mexican government is not about challenging the Second Amendment. Right. You're not challenging the Second Amendment. You just want us to not have guns because it's supposed to relate somehow to the problems you've got in Mexico, old Mexico. That's why you want to deny Americans the right to keep and bear arms, is for your own good. Is that correct? Is that what I'm getting here? You want our rights to be denied for your own good. Well, you know, I'm not so sure that we need to levy sanctions in France because of some issue with crepes or champagne. Well, what kind of mental things like this? I don't get it. It's a sovereign decision of the United States what to do here with the Second Amendment and everything else, which it shouldn't really be a decision on the Second Amendment. It's there. It's a sovereign decision of the United States. It shouldn't have anything to do with any sort of influence coming from any other country, especially the one that provides us with economic disaster by sending us 20 million of its illegal residents. So it's not a decision even of the Congress. It's a decision of the citizens. The Bill of Rights exists to tell Congress what it cannot do. And as for the Founding Fathers, what they intended here, read this. Read this. It's called the Constitution. Who else is sick of the BI just moat-finding, blaming scumbags in the South, blaming their inability to govern themselves on our freedom? And what's with the anonymous mouthpiece doing so without any personal repercussions? Who is this guy? Who is it? Let's examine his ties. Let's examine if this guy's on the take or not on the take. Let's examine whether or not ABC News didn't actually create this. While we're at it, let's start making some noise in demands of our own. What are they hiding by only submitting cherry-picked firearms for tracing? Let's insist on training the machine guns and the grenades, you know, the stuff that can only legally move government to authorized recipient through the direct commercial sales approved by the State Department. How about it, Mr. Senior Anonymous? Senior Anonymous, we want to know. What possible objections could any senior Mexican official have against fully cooperating with an independent audit to trace all military-grade weapons seized in that country, particularly ordnance that's been sent to Mexican armed services and police? Huh? That wouldn't because that serve your agenda, would it? What would serve your agenda is taking guns out of the hands of Americans, further restricting our rights for something that's not going to affect anything in your country. What are you getting out of this? Some sort of hat trick being played by the regime in the White House to get the Mexicans to be their carnival barkers. The good thing is that this senior Mexicano Eficha admits the chance of passing a new ban are slim at this time, but that doesn't mean that public or private ownership, I'm sorry, the partnership of ambitious politicians and media leaders like ABC News won't keep trying. Here's Ted Nugent's thoughts.
Second Amendment, gun control. You've been on the NRA's board since 95, mm-hmm. and this is a subject that you maybe feel more strongly about than any other.
I believe that a
make your case.
I believe that a person's moral compass can be determined by how he references free men the right to defend themselves. The Second Amendment is so obvious to me, it's insane that there's an argument. God gave, let's pretend there is no document. Let's pretend brave families didn't leave the tyrants and the slave drivers of Europe so that they could practice the religion of their choice, so that they could speak out without being murdered, that they could produce wool without the king's men coming and taking it from them every season of harvest. Let's pretend none of that happened. Let's just pretend this guy named Ted Nugent parachuted onto Earth and woke up one morning and saw these wonderful resources and had dreams of excellence and being the best that I could be. I don't need a document, and I don't need another man to explain to me that I have the right to defend my gift of life, and that there is an argument in America from Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me. A good, law-abiding citizen, not convicted of a felon. The Second Amendment of our Bill of Rights is my concealed weapons permit. Period.
That's it?
That's it.
So no limitations of any kind that you
no.
can see?
None.
That's it.
The limitation should be, instead of arresting people for molesting children 24 times, I would rather the dad walked into the room, found a person molesting that child, and blew his brains out. I would rather that the lady in Massachusetts last month, who was taking her daughter to soccer, who was carjacked by a recidivistic maggot who'd been in the prison system all his life, but was let out again because we feel sorry for him. Maybe he had a bad childhood. Instead of her being hijacked and murdered, I'd rather she just shot the bastard dead. But in Massachusetts, somebody decided she can't do that. So she's dead. I would rather she was alive and the carjacker was dead. I'm weird. I would rather that the guy who beat this lady to within an inch of her life in Waco, on parole was he, phenomenal, and beat her to within an inch of her life in front of her grandchildren with a whiskey bottle, I would rather she fell to the ground, pulled out a .38, and shot him 6 times in the chest and killed him. Am I weird? Because the guy is going to get out again. I don't like repeat offenders. I like dead offenders.
Couldn't agree with him more. So that's our right to have guns. But yet we've got Senor Anonima over there talking a bunch of smack down in Mexico. He believes that if you and I were not allowed to buy an AR-15 with a flash suppressor and a bayonet lug on it, and the magazines could only hold 10 rounds. And that would be the same with several other guns. That they wouldn't have drug violence in Mexico where they'd be shooting at the police and the military. Now, the guns that they're shooting at the police and military with are fully automatic guns. But if you and I were somehow denied our rights, somehow, that's going to fix the problem in Mexico. Tell me how that works. Tell me how that is supposed to work. Please, someone, tell me how that's supposed to work. It's my absolute secure belief that the... Because this really didn't start happening until the Obama regime took control in D.C., when our de facto president took over. It is my absolute firm belief that the regime out of D.C. is having the corrupt Mexican officials talking smack about, if we deny the rights to American citizens, the problems in Mexico, your hearts will bleed for us, will go away. And there's some sort of agreement between these two groups, between the I guess, corrupt officials in Mexico and the cartel that's in the White House. You cannot tell me that something like that isn't going on. There's just way too many things pointing that way. The fish stinks at the head, guys. Stay tuned through the break. I'll be back.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the two-way radio show with Bill Carnes.
So we had a shooting in Pittsburgh, and here's a response to it that came out last week. The tragic mass shooting in Pittsburgh last week further illustrates the need for gun control in the United States. Allegheny Police Superintendent Charles Moffitt said in a press conference today that the bullet clips, which held 30 bullets purchased by George Sandini to use by his semi-automatic weapons, were illegal under the assault bans that expired under pressure from then President George W. Bush and the National Rifle Association. Okay. Let's address this as we go. I'm not sure what a bullet clip is when it comes to a handgun. It's called a magazine to begin with. And second of all, whoever's writing this has absolutely no idea what they're talking about. They can't even get the nomenclature correct, yet they're writing about it. You know, if somebody's going to write about football, usually they know about football. If they're going to write about auto racing, and NASCAR doesn't always just go left. Sometimes they go right, too. Today will be one of those days up in New York. Anyhow, point being that if you know about something, usually that's what you stick to writing about. If you don't know about it, normally you wouldn't write about it. This person doesn't know what they're writing about. So, here we go. It expired under pressure from President George W. Bush, who actually said, although you know as well as I do he didn't mean it, hey, if both houses of Congress pass an extension to the ban, I'll sign it. And he did that to appease. The NRA, yeah, they wanted it to expire. It's not like they pushed through something. The thing was designed to expire. When the Justice Department came out, the Justice Department says, we can see absolutely no evidence whatsoever that this assault weapons ban did anything other than cost the American people and the gun industry huge amounts of money. But it did not. We cannot see that it conclusively saved even a single life, this piece of legislation. All it did was cost tremendous millions. So in other words, had the assault weapons ban still been in effect, it would have been much more difficult and illegal for Sodini to have purchased the firepower needed to carry out his attacks against women at the LA Fitness Center. Sodini, who took his own life, is clearly responsible for the violence that occurred, but President Bush and the NRA also have blood on their hands for allowing people like Sodini to get their hands on dangerous weapons of mass destruction that have no legitimate place in our society. Now, you see where this person's going. Dangerous weapons of mass destruction. Okay? So that's the new thing, is to call a gun a weapon of mass destruction. That's what they're going after now. All right? Not to mention, okay, that the actual act of killing somebody was already illegal. But had we not lifted a ban on the ammunition carrying device on this guy, that somehow would have prevented him from doing this. President Obama and Congress must do more to reinstate the assault weapons ban and enact other sensible gun control measures to protect Americans. Religious leaders who want to become more involved in this important issue should visit the website of God Not Guns for additional information. Now, I've got to tell you, for more sensible gun control measures, there's already laws on the books. This guy violated a tremendous number of them, not the least of which was murder. We need to enact more laws. There's 20,000 laws across this great land dealing with an inalienable right. Okay, well, let me restate that to this doofus who wrote the article. Of course, there was no name on it. Whenever somebody goes so far as to stand up on their soapbox, they got to put a bag over their head when they do it in paper, as though they're the unknown comic, the unknown jackass up there spouting off about this. Wouldn't put a name to it. 20,000 laws across this country restricting an inalienable right. Something tells me that slightly over 19,999 of those laws shouldn't even be there. So regardless of the magazines and this guy's gun, and I got to tell you, this guy did a huge, huge disservice to guys like you and me. Because as I understand, he actually had a concealed weapons permit, had three handguns with him, and used two of the three. Somebody from our own crowd that snapped and used a tool of defense for offense, which is highly unusual. It's highly unusual to get what is otherwise referred to as a law-abiding citizen, NCCW holder, who snaps and uses guns to commit their crime. Let me just put something out there. If you're going to snap, if you're of the ilk that you're listening to this show and you're a law-abiding person, you own guns, maybe even be a CCW holder. If you're going to snap, do me a favor. Use a super soaker with salt water in it and just shoot people in the eye so it's an irritation. Don't use a gun with bullets. All you're doing is hosing everybody else, and you're hosing those of us who don't do stupid things like that. This guy did a tremendous disservice. The only satisfaction I have in this entire story is the guy offed himself. The thing that sucks is he took his rage to a bunch of innocent people in the process. More after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
There is a lawsuit filed last week in D.C., which will test the Second Amendment limit by the Second Amendment Foundation. One question that was left unanswered by the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in D.C. versus Heller was, when do law-abiding Americans have the right to carry firearms in public for self-defense? In a lawsuit filed against the city of Washington, D.C. last Thursday on the behalf of the Second Amendment Foundation, aims to find out. The plaintiffs are four gun owners who were denied licenses to carry firearms in public on their person, which nearly all states permit. All U.S. states except Illinois and Wisconsin grant licenses for concealed carry, and 36 states require local police to issue the licenses unless there's a valid reason, such as a criminal history, not to do so. The District of Columbia is a special case. Its city code says nobody may either, quote, either openly or concealed on or about their person a pistol without a license, end quote. But a law enacted in December 2008 appears to have curbed the ability of the police chief to even grant such licenses. This really isn't about concealed carry, says Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation. It's about being able to carry a gun, period. D.C. can prescribe some form or fashion or regulation or restrictions, but there's no way they can say you can't do it at all. You can't carry a gun at all. Part of the blame for this uncertainty, however far does the Second Amendment extend, can be laid at the doors of no less than the authority than the U.S. Supreme Court. In the D.C. versus Heller case, the justice struck down the district's no handgun in your home ban and on the grounds that it violated the Second Amendment, but they weren't terribly specific about what else might or might not cross the line. Now, as I read Justice Scalia's some 46-page decision, it said in there rather plainly that open carry in the United States is legal. However, they're looking for this to get spelled out. To put it another way, the text of the Second Amendment that says the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. Last year's Heller case dealt with the right to keep arms, but what about the right to bear arms? The Justice Majority Opinion acknowledged that, quote, at the time of the founding, as now, to bear meant to carry, and that the phrase bear arms was unambiguously used to refer to the carrying of weapons outside of an organized militia, end quote. Also, they said, we find that the clauses guarantee the individual right to possess and carry weapons in case of confrontation. Now, that was actually in the decision of D.C. versus Heller. However, the big problem we have now, folks, we have the Second Circuit Court and the Seventh Circuit Court saying Second Amendment doesn't apply to the states. And then you have the Ninth Circuit and a small three-judge panel saying it does apply to the states. So the other anti-gunners on the Ninth Circuit have decided, you know, we should have the entire court review this decision. All right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens there when the whole court of anti-gunners in the Ninth Circuit reviews this decision. You think it might be overturned on instant replay? I'm thinking it may. How can the Second Amendment not apply to the states, but the rest of the Constitution apply? How can that happen? I don't know. But my answer is to have a constitutional amendment in every single state guaranteeing the right to keep and bear arms. That's my answer. That's what happened in Kansas. The state representatives and the state house and the state senate allowed for that provision to go onto the ballot. So the next time that you vote in Kansas in November, this year I believe it is, the residents, the citizens of Kansas, will actually be able to vote whether or not they want to have essentially the Second Amendment and the right for them to keep and bear arms guaranteed within their state. That would be regardless of what happens at the federal level. If the feds say, look, you can't keep guns anymore, in the state of Kansas, provided this passes, and I'm quite sure it will. I went to college here. I have a good idea of what happens in Kansas. The people are very, very conservative-minded and don't tread on me-minded. It'll pass. It'll go on the state constitution. Regardless of what the feds say, the state can say, hey, we got this little 10th Amendment thing, and you can't enforce that here because they have a right here within the state. Okay, just to make things more complicated in this lawsuit, though the majority opinion also said, quote, nothing in our opinion should be taken to cast doubt on long-standing prohibitions on the possession of firearms by felons and the mentally ill, or laws forbidding the carrying of firearms in sensitive places such as schools and government buildings, or laws imposing conditions and qualifications on the commercial sale of arms. Okay? So permitting law-abiding Americans to carry loaded firearms on their person doesn't fall squarely into one of those categories, but has given gun rights groups some reason to be optimistic in the current lawsuit against Washington, D.C. Here's a quote by Gottlieb from Second Amendment Foundation. We're not against all gun laws or forms of gun control. We're not saying that you can bring your gun to the Capitol building or the White House, but there are obviously places where you should be able to carry a gun for self-defense. All right? So that's from Alan Gottlieb, the Second Amendment Foundation, the guy who actually is pushing this lawsuit. This is one case that's more likely than most to end up at the Supreme Court once again. Sonia Sotomayor was confirmed as an associate justice this last Thursday, sworn in on Saturday, but few court watchers expect that's going to make a difference. As we both know, she's going to be replacing David Souter. That's going to be her predecessor. And he voted against this whole thing, D.C. versus Heller, voted against it. He's one of the dissenting votes. And he appeared to believe that the Second Amendment does not protect an individual right to keep and bear arms, as it so plainly and clearly states in the Constitution. Thursday's complaint, filed against the District of Columbia, invokes two constitutional rights. First, it says that general bans on carrying of handguns in public violates the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. And second, that the city's repeated refusal to grant permits violates the rights to travel and equal protection secured by the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. The only problem with that approach is that even though the Supreme Court said that the constitutional right to keep and bear arms exists, subsequent rulings by appellate courts have routinely said it's so limited that it doesn't have much meaning in practice. One of those cases involved Sotomayor, and another involved a California anti-gun law. If anti-gun types can convince judges to continue this approach, they may be able to win the next few rounds, even though the Heller decision is technically the law of the land. So what's this mean for all of us? It means we're kind of in screw city on this deal, until it finally gets to the Supreme Court again. What I really enjoyed about the Ninth Circuit ruling when it came to their view of the Second Amendment in Heller was it was in sharp contrast to the Seventh and Second Circuit courts, which means eventually it should end up in short order in front of the Supreme Court for further clarification on Heller. That's as I see it. Okay. There is moving on, there is an issue happening in Hawaii dealing with this whole birth certificate thing with Obama. There's a bill that would force the Obama birth certificate to be revealed. Hawaii State Senator Will Espero, who's a Democrat, has confirmed plans to introduce legislation through which the state's lawmakers would force the public disclosure of all of President Obama's documents held by the Hawaii Department of Health, including Obama's long-form original birth certificate that nobody has seen except for, allegedly, the governor of Hawaii. Espero told WND, WorldNet Daily, that his bill is aimed at giving citizens access to birth records under a standard of government transparency, which would permit journalists to request in writing the public disclosure of vital birth records, including long-form birth certificates of all persons born in Hawaii. He said it would include the release of birth records on those previously born in Hawaii, as in prior to this bill being enacted. It would be retroactive. Here's a quote from Espero. My decision to file this legislation was primarily a result of the fuss over President Obama's birth records and the lingering questions, he says. Espero told WorldNet Daily that he believes President Obama was born in Hawaii. My motivation is strictly to promote transparency, said. When I found out that Hawaii birth records were not available to the public, my first thought was, why wouldn't they be available to the public? Now, keep in mind, this law in Hawaii of these birth records not being available to public is a rather rare law. It's mostly public records throughout the country. As far as I'm concerned, records regarding whether a person was born here or not should be in the public domain, he said. asked specifically about Obama's birth records, including the original long-form birth certificate, Esporo said, "Whatever birth records regarding President Obama that the Hawaii Department has on file should be made public." Esporo emphasized that his legislation would make provisions to deal with security issues by making sure no information would be released that could aid criminals to commit identity theft. Once his legislation is drafted, Esporo said he would submit it to Hawaii's Director of Health, Dr. Chimyon Hukino, for comment before introducing the legislation to the Hawaii State Legislature. WND previously reported that the Hawaii Department of Health destroyed no long-form original birth certificate records when the agency moved to the electronic record-keeping back in 2001. "I am not aware of any birth certificate records that have been destroyed by the department," said Janice Okubo, public information officer for the Hawaii DOH. "When the department went electronic in 2001, vital records, whether in paper form or any other form, have been maintained. We don't destroy records," she said. Okubo affirmed that being in 2001, all vital records, including booth records, be moved to the electronic formats. "Any records that we had in paper or any other form before 2001 are still in file within the department," she insisted. "We have not destroyed any vital statistics records that we have." WND had also reported that the Hawaiian Department of Health declined to authenticate either of the two versions of President Obama's short form certificate of live birth, which is posted online, one image produced by the Obama campaign and the other produced by factcheck.org. Okubo also had no explanation for why Dr. Fukino's initial press release in her position as chief of health department last October and subsequent press release on July 27th avoided declaring the posted images to be authentic documents. Also reported, the Kenyan birth document released by California attorney Orly Tates is probably not authentic, according to investigative operatives in Africa hired by WND. Now, you might remember about 10 days ago, Orly Tates said, "Look, I was given a copy of this birth certificate of Obama in Kenya. I want to give this to the federal courts and start getting orders to authenticate, including subpoenaing Hillary Clinton." Okay. So here's the deal. WND obtained several samples of Kenyan birth certificates in use around August 4th of 61, the date of Obama's birth, showing differences from the Tate's document. Earlier Kenyan birth certificate samples obtained by WND had shown similarities to the Tate's document, but it was determined that they were not totally identical. WND reported Sunday that the document Tate's had been trying to authenticate, she had filed a motion in U.S. District Court for the Central District of California requesting the purported evidence of Obama's birth, both the alleged birth certificates and foreign records not yet obtained, be preserved from destruction. She also asked for permission to legally request documents from Kenya and is seeking a subpoena for the deposition from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Tate said, "I filed the motion with the court asking for expedited discovery, which would allow me to start subpoenas and depositions even before Obama and the government responds. I'm asking the judge to give me the power to subpoena the documents from the Kenyan Assembly and to require the deposition from Hillary Clinton so they will be forced to authenticate the birth certificate." A judge shortly later dismissed the document and Tate's request. Denied. Now, I wonder if this law that's going to be introduced in Hawaii, even if it passes, I wonder if it would be vetoed. Because you know, as thick as molasses is as thick as the scuzzy relationship between the governor of Hawaii and our de facto president when it comes to this issue, all that would have to happen, one of two things. A veto, and then even if it were overridden, you know what comes next? Oh, somehow that thing was accidentally destroyed. Oops, sorry. There is no copy of the birth certificate anymore. More than one way to skin a cat. Right? So you've got Orly Tates, who's hot on the trail, doing everything she can. Lawsuits here, lawsuits there. And Obama's sitting there being quiet. And he's got his pit bulls out there doing their best to denounce the quote-unquote birthers who really want to know if this guy is legitimate. And it shouldn't be that big a deal. You know what? If you are so pro-Obama, then just sit there and think for a moment or have somebody explain this to you with using small words and short sentences. That if they can actually have a congressional hearing on the constitutional eligibility of John McCain to run for president, why not have Obama go through the same ordeal? It's my impression that that should happen with everybody who runs for president. Everybody should be looked at congressionally. Just my two cents to avoid this constitutional crisis we're in now. Imagine, it's confirmed somehow down the line that any one of the reasons that Obama didn't pass muster for constitutional eligibility but got elected anyhow, and we realize that, he's gone, Biden becomes president, what then? Everybody in the cabinet, Sotomayor herself, and every bill signed by Obama then becomes null and void. Wouldn't that be the case? We'd have to start over from scratch. Let's get her done. Show us the paperwork or make a ruling and have them provide it. Come on. More after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's out in the shoot, maybe a little
too well. Finger on the trigger, loaded, falling. So I have to ask, has anybody out there ever worked for a company? Or maybe you're working for a company now. And at some point in time, that company or an executive thereof laid out a directive or a direction or a position on something that you did not agree with. You inside, personally, held a belief, yeah, you know what, this sucks. I don't like this at all. But you kept your mouth shut, you towed the line, and you know, you went by this new company policy or rule, whatever it may have been, because you knew that if you stood up and you said something, chances were you'd probably find yourself out of a job and you didn't want to have to go through all of that. Maybe you started looking around for another job and inevitably left because you just couldn't see yourself aligning with the company that kept making all these poor decisions. But yet, you still, at least during the interim, stuck with it because you were employed and you were getting a paycheck and the checks cleared every time. Pretty much everybody's been in that position. I take that because it would seem as though the people that are on the government payroll, and by that I mean more so the people that are locked in within a job and they have a job to do, and the millions more that live free on the government coffer through the welfare system, don't want to upset the balance. They don't want to get kicked loose. Okay, let's say we've got X number of millions of people on welfare getting free federal money, right? And Obama keeps pushing money, even if it's a state program. And the state says, okay, you've got X amount of time to, you know, fix your situation before you get cut off. And then the feds step in and say, oh, you know, we're going to have emergency release so they can stay on there indefinitely. The people that are the recipients of that form of welfare, they don't want to upset the balance. So whether they agree with Obama or not, they're going to keep things status quo because they could inevitably lose what's coming to them personally rather than standing up for what's right. You know, I kind of understand that. If standing up for your principles could cause your family some pretty reasonable turmoil, I can understand that. However, the best thing in the world is to get yourself out of that situation. If you're aligned with an organization that is far and away less than your ideals, it is incumbent upon you to stand up, find the right sort of alignment for you, and move on. Now, you may have to deal with the unaligned scumbags to begin with, but then stand up and move on. I say that because I am no longer aligned with the direction that our government goes in. And if you're not either, it's time for us to stand up and get the right people in office so we can realign ourselves properly. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.